back in the wild again. And I feel right at home where I belong. I had that feeling coming over me again, just like it happened so many times before. The spirit of the woods is like an old good friend. Makes me feel warm and good inside. And I knew his name, and it was good to see him again. Cause in the wind he's still alive. Oh, friend, man.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders, Outdoors. Having fun indoors today. The Sisterhood of the Outdoors are in the house. Again, it's been a fun show so far.
Mm-hmm.
You missed the first hour, shame on you. That's why we get up here, get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to come in here and do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're on the way to the woods. You can give us a call if you want. And if you don't, heck with you. I'm going to have fun anyway.
I do have a story I'd like to get the ladies' opinion on.
Oh, God, ladies, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
A man in Arizona was attempting to cook a rattlesnake on a barbecue grill when the snake decided to fight back. Victor Pratt, 48, was throwing his child a birthday party when a rattlesnake slithered into the yard. He took that opportunity to teach his guest how to cook a rattlesnake. One minor problem, though. He lost his grip on the snake's head, and guess what? Yep, got bit. Not once, but twice. And my first thought is there had to be some sort of alcohol involved at this party, or, you know, usually these stories end up happening with when something, no alcohol was involved. So I'm thinking this guy's just pretty much an idiot outdoors. I mean,
few sandwiches shy of a picnic,
maybe a burger shy of a Happy Meal.
Testosterone.
That's
fair, a good
enough
answer.
I'll take that answer.
Well, my favorite thing is never rule out stupidity, and trying to cook a live snake is pretty much gets stupid right in there.
I mean, lobster, yeah, you put them in the pot, you turn up the water slowly. Rattlesnakes, you just don't grab them and throw them on the grill. Normally, I would cut the head off.
They need to be dead.
I didn't know if you could say that.
Oh, yeah.
What, cut the head off?
Cut the head off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not one of the seven deadly words that we can't use. So.
Yeah, there's seven we can't use, and I'll be more than happy to tell you here. In
just, on the next break, I'd like
think
to know.
Yeah, me too. That
before I say one of them.
You know, guys, I was curious. Do you ever find any resistance from guys? You know, sometimes men, you know, hunting's a man's sport, you know, or, you know, football is for men, you know. And do you ever get any resistance? I know it's, you know, it's nice as a family to go hunting. It's nice to have your spouse go hunting with you, but is there any resistance from guys that think that, you know, that their sport is their sport?
I don't think resistance, but I think they question our knowledge. I think they question our purpose because it's different than what their purpose that they have.
And I think, and I can speak for South Georgia and hunters on the forums in the Georgia Outdoor News, and just what I'm personally aware of, there are clubs that do not welcome women because they don't want women in camp for the weekend because that's their reprieve from their family, maybe, and it's not a family atmosphere. It's a guy thing all weekend. So I've had women contact me looking for family-friendly or women-friendly hunting properties to lease. Where can I find my own land? I'm just going to go lease my own land. And I think a lot of women have not done that on their own because they've always hunted with their family and friends, but you're seeing it more and more. And I can think of an instance years ago, and I was not on this hunt, but I heard about it. We had one outfitter, and of course we never went back. We've had two or three outfitters not take us seriously enough to put us on the game like we know we should be on your property. We have women who are, you know, just as good at finding deer sign as you are, because mm-hmm. they've been doing it their whole lives or a long time, or they've been taught well by their family. And, you know, they just knew that these are not the stands where the big deer are. We would like to move. We would talk to the outfitter and try to say, you know, hey, can we go hunt this other food plot in the morning? Or I'd like to be in the woods where the acorns are because they're not eating in the fields. And they refused to move our girls, and we had some problems with that. So they said, well, on Sunday I'm shooting a doe because I'm going home with meat. And this outfitter proceeded to say, well, you can't shoot a doe on Sunday because there's no processor open. Well, that didn't matter because we process our own deer.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Some girls came home with some does because they had paid to hunt there and wanted to bring their meat home. That's a rare incident, and of course, it happened about 6 years ago. So I don't think we've had any other issues since then. But I felt like that story sounded like they treated them like a bunch of girls. And not the hunters that they are. And they're just hunters. They're not girls or boys. They're hunters.
Yeah. The reason I asked my dad, you know, he used to take us boys, I have two brothers and a sister, out target practicing. And, you know, he wasn't an avid hunter, but he would hunt. And it was always us boys that would go with him. And my sister always wanted to go. But, he seemed to have the mindset that it was for guys. And later she went on and apparently learned herself. And this has been many years ago, before you guys,
right.
It'd be wonderful if they had had camps and some training back then. But she went and taught herself how to shoot a pistol. She graduated to a rifle of some sort. And, it's just a mindset, I think, of, my dad, and thinking that it was, this boys go hunting, boys go target practicing, so...
My dad never took me hunting, but he taught me how to shoot, and he taught me respect for guns, gun safety. And he's a big hunter, hunts all over the place, hunts all seasons, and loves big game and elk. And he's been going to elk camp for 20, 30 years. And a few years back, one of the guys in his group backed out of the group. So there was an opening. And he asked his buddies, because this was after I'd learned to hunt, and he was like, do y'all care if, my daughter takes that spot? So he called me, and this was so funny. I was going down I-75 between Chattanooga and Dalton, and he calls me. He says, there might be a spot for you on our elk hunt this fall. Would you be able to get off work and go? I almost wrecked my car. I was so excited. I had to pull over at the rest stop. I was shaking. I was like, I get to go elk hunting with my daddy. Because not just the elk hunting, but with my daddy.
Yeah.
That was the coolest thing ever. So I've been 3 or 4 years in a row now, and it's a standing date.
Yeah.
I'm in camp. It's my spot until I give it up, and the guy's just, taken to me, and it's a father and a son, and then my dad and a daughter, and we stay in a cabin, and we hunt elk in Meeker, Colorado, and the lessons that I've learned were, the DIY elk hunting. So we take four-wheelers across the ranch, we go into public land, we shoot an elk. As soon as one's down, the other three come, and we spend the day butchering, packing out on our backs with pack frames, getting it down the trails to the back to the ATVs. Then we drive to town, take it by the processor, go eat Mexican and celebrate, go to sleep, get up, do it again the next day. And, we shoot one a day because it's just so hard to handle on our own. And he's in his 70s, and I hope I'm packing out my daddy's elk when he's 90.
Right. Good for you ladies. I mean, I think sometimes guys feel threatened. Maybe you're a better shooter. You can bring more game home.
We are better shooters.
Yeah, okay.
I can test. Well, I can testify to that one.
Okay. Yeah, his wife definitely outshot him.
Mm-hmm.
But I have learned, Gene, through the years that women are typically better students because they listen. A lot of guys, and this is based on teaching a lot of youth mainly. I get a 13 or 14-year-old boy that's shot once a time in his life, and he thinks he knows everything. And I get a lady in a class, or a young lady in the class, and she's like a sponge. She listens. And we did, matter of fact, Rob and I are part of CEOPA, which is Southeastern Outdoor Press, and they do a thing where typically it's Smith & Wesson brings in all their firearms to the range. And they started several years ago, and my wife went to this one time, 3-4 hours before the press guys show up, they do ladies only at the range. And they said it's just phenomenal, and they're out there shooting everything that Smith and Wesson brings, and learning, and they're like, hey, some of them are very avid. I mean, I know you're friends with Joella Bates, and she's involved in it, and so some of them are very accomplished, and then others like my wife never shot a gun in her life, and they just pick it up and they listen, and it just works out so much better.
Well, it's like my fly fishing class. Whenever I have women in the class, they pick it up quicker than the guys, because the first thing the guy wants to do is power cast and, you know, throw a fly into the next count.
Well, now, she confessed to trying to do that too now.
So I was killing it. My arm was going to be sore then.
All right, now my question is, did you ever spin fish before or fish much before?
Always spinning.
Okay, there's your problem right there.
Always bait casting like that.
The problem is with, I think, the way my class works, if they've never picked up a rod, I can get them casting 40 feet in like 20 minutes, no problem. If you've picked up a rod, I've got to unlearn you the spin casting and
That's
reteach. Yeah, I've got to unlearn that part. And unlearning a skill is much harder than teaching a new skill. So we can get you some. We can get
I need
you
lessons.
I can take care of that. We can get you casting 60 feet, no time at all. No time at all.
Now, Chantaine, you said earlier that you kind of gravitated towards the antelope side because that was kind of how you got pushed. But now, is that still one of your favorite animals?
This is my favorite thing to do, is antelope. Everybody thinks it's easy. Everybody, just like you said earlier.
You make it look easy.
I do.
Because you're very successful.
I think because when you drive down the road, they're everywhere. So you see them. It builds a lot of adrenaline. And then that moment is, boy, this really wasn't that easy. Because as soon as you stop, I don't know, what's our joke? Don't make eye contact.
Don't make eye contact with the goats.
We got to make a plan. We're going to go ready, set, go, but don't make eye contact.
Look away.
Keep driving. Don't stop. Don't move. Ready, set, go.
Pretend like you're a cow at the water hole.
I've never antelope hunt, and I'm looking so forward to it. I'm kind of bummed I didn't get to go this year, but it's next year's trip for sure.
You'll be hooked.
Oh, I can't wait. All right, Gino, let's go pay a bill, and when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Where's all the deer hunters?
In the woods, probably.
Not this early.
Well,
yeah, I guess they are about now. Next year's when they'll. I mean, next week's when they'll call and start bragging about their harvest.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. We'll be right back.
A bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gone.
If you have listened to my show for a while, you know that I am sold on Sportsman's Warehouse. Over a lifetime of hunting and fishing, I have shopped in many stores all around the country, but have never found a group of team members that have the knowledge like the outfitters at Sportsman's Warehouse. No matter what your plans or needs, Sportsman's Warehouse and their knowledgeable outfitters can equip you for your next adventure. Sportsman's Warehouse, 153 and Lee Highway, great indoors for those who love the great outdoors. Sportsman's Warehouse, go see them today, Highway 153 and Lee Highway.
Hogs down in the bone, y'all get the dogs. There's a big black razorback, get your gun off the rack. Come on, y'all, let's kill a hog.
Welcome back. Tony Sanders Outdoors. You can be part of the show, or you can sit back and listen, which a lot of people are doing. I'm getting all these comments. Great show. What part of South Georgia are you from? Somebody asked that. I don't.
Chatsworth, Georgia.
That's not South Georgia.
Well, our hunting club's in Warren County.
There we go. That's what they were looking for. And you're from Wyoming. You're a native.
Yep.
Well, that's all right. Welcome to Tennessee.
Thank you.
Vacation. I still can't get over vacation during hunting season. That's just blown my mind.
I don't hunt much though, so if I don't have hunters, I get a vacation before vacation starts.
You know, and that's true. When I started this show, a good friend of mine actually does a TV show and had done radio, and I had filled in for him a lot, and kind of like you, taking some people out hunting before you actually got into it, and he said, buddy, when you start this as a business, it becomes a business. You got to treat it as a business, and that was really good advice, because it is a business, and you got to have revenue, and you got to have, you know, you got expenses, and you got to have more of one than the other if you want to do it for a long time. So I can definitely understand how that goes. So you started out antelope. do you enjoy the elk and the turkey stuff as well? Or I know Absolutely. Antelope is your favorite.
Just anything outdoors. Antelope's okay. my favorite. I love to elk hunt. We go every year. Go with my dad. We turkey hunt. I'll do anything. Love to fly fish. Anything outdoors. Taking the kids, taking my kid. I don't know. As long as it's outside.
Now, how old is your kid?
14. She's 14.
14. So what does she think?
She loves it.
Does she?
Yeah.
So you've got her already ahead of where you were.
Oh, absolutely. She's beyond, I don't know, her confidence with guns, her confidence in the outdoors, her confidence in sitting down to actually pull a trigger is beyond what I could ever do at her age.
And that's so cool. We hear all these people going nutty about kids and guns and stuff, and she's in her just, oh, she's so confident with a gun. I mean, it's and you don't have to worry about her. Right?
I don't worry about her at all.
Exactly. See, that's...
She knows safety. She knows, her confidence is crazy. But the experience of what it is, I mean, her pulling the trigger and me sitting next to her and us looking at each other, just both crying. I mean, that's what we do.
But I was there with Shantaine when she shot her first, when she became old enough to big game hunt in Wyoming, and we got her first antelope. We were all there for Samantha. And it was just...
Oh, that's cool.
It was just something else. That's all I can say. She's like my daughter, too. But.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Let's go to Beaverman. All right, Beaverman. Uh-oh. Nope, try it again. All right, Beaverman. There you are.
Good morning,
How are
ladies.
You?
Good morning. Good morning.
Gentlemen. And Rob.
Sir.
How are y'all? I'm really enjoying your show. It's quite interesting. I have a daughter who's now a young woman. Who I got out with me when she was young, and she first went deer hunting with me in a bright pink Dora the Explorer jacket.
Whatever works.
Well, and I said, well, honey, that's not really camouflage. She said, you said the deer are colorblind.
Very good.
So it doesn't matter as long as I sit still. I'm like, well, okay, you got me there.
Don't she listen to you?
Yes, and she's much smarter than I, and that does not... that does not hunt with me any longer. She has her own thing that she does, but when we were younger, we had a great time going duck hunting. She liked to really work the dog and kind of be in charge of that. It was a big thing for her. But I have a question about when you are rifle hunting with your speed game. What type of rifle do you like? What is your preferred caliper? I mean, are you really stretching a barrel on some of these, or what's what type of ranges are you?
200 yards. I typically don't like over 200. I use a 270 short mag. My daughter shoots a 243. You don't need anything bigger than that.
Right, right. Excellent. Well, I'd love to say I'm going to the woods right now, but I'm not. I'm going to work.
Hey, no, I'm sorry.
Just one of those things you got to do.
Are you putting down any of the Beatty's Big Buck food plot starter?
Not this week. I did last week, and I'm going to go check my results. Actually, it was a couple weeks ago, before the storm. And Buenos Dias. And the stuff works great. It's green, it's smelly, but, man, it turns those food plots bright green.
What I like to hear, and so does my buddy John, who is driving in right now from Beatty's.
I'm a big fan of the smelly green stuff.
Yes, you are.
Ladies, it's nice to hear you on the air. Tony, you ought to do that more often.
I agree.
I'm busy earning a living and doing important stuff.
I agree.
Maybe have a follow-up toward the end of the season and give us a recount.
Maybe we can get them back in here, at least one of them. I don't know how often Shantaine's going to come in from Wyoming, but...
Well, she can call. It'll be, 2 o'clock?
There's things called phones.
We can get her up.
I would do that.
That's true. All right, we'll do that, Gordon.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, man.
Y'all take care.
Thank you,
ladies. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Carter, he has a granddaughter, doesn't he?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, because I know I've seen pictures with his granddaughter holding fish. So, even though his daughter has quit hunting with him, he's got hope.
Yeah, he's at least keeping another generation outdoors.
And, you know, that's something my daughter never wanted to do. She never wanted to hunt. Now, she loves to shoot. Gosh, she loves to shoot.
And well, and we're more than, and we're not just hunters. I mean, we're the outdoors and shooting sports and different things as
I
well.
I teach and pistol, and I take women shotgunning, and sometimes I'll do ladies' days at Silver Shoe Ranch in Dalton. Mm-hmm. We'll do pistol in the morning, and it's just an introduction to shooting, so no experience necessary, and you don't have to have a pistol. I let you shoot my guns. Then we eat lunch in the afternoon. We do shotgunning, and so you can learn a pistol and shotgun in one day. I try to do two of those a year, and they're usually on a Saturday. And we do them in the summer when I'm not as busy hunting.
Right.
But and then busting clays, gosh, one of my favorite things to do. Love the smell of gunpowder.
Love the smell of gunpowder in the morning. No, it's and I think that's great. And I think the more you can get ladies involved, the better off it's going to be. There's no doubt. So 270 short mag.
I don't even have a good answer why.
Why
that? Why that? I like the gun.
Right.
The gun fits me.
That's what matters.
Ladies like that. You know, I fought for a lot of years with equipment, clothing. I mean, he's talking about the pink jacket. You can't fight it. You know, a girl likes what a girl likes. I don't know me as a guy like that.
You hand me
someone else's gun. If it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. And I'm really comfortable with my gun. I'm comfortable with my boots. I'm comfortable with. Not what you like to wear, not what you want to tell me to wear, and what you want to tell me to shoot.
Well, and hopefully the industry has evolved, I'll get it right in a minute, one of those evolves, evolved a little more than that. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it has.
I think the choices are better, and there's certainly a lot more interest in specifically marketing to women. I think based on my survey results of my girls, but you got to remember, I'm talking to a lot of girls who already hunt or already outdoors. They don't think guns are men's or women's. They're just guns, and they either fit or they don't. And then if they're shorter women, low, you know, smaller stature, shorter arms, have a hard time shouldering a regular gun, they do like to have a women's cut gun in the shotgunning or the rifle. Pistol, I think, is... You know, I teach pistol. It's a personal choice, and you do need a pistol that fits you and your purpose. So I spend a lot of time talking to ladies who are learning to pistol shoot, learning that gun safety, and getting their concealed and carry for personal protection or home defense or whatever their reason. You know, if you take the class first and you get the safety mindset first and you learn about pistols, you'll make a much better personal choice. But I'm like Chantaine with rifles. I have a Weatherby 243 that I love to shoot whitetail with. It's 0 to 100. I hog hunt with it. It fits me. I use it a lot for youth. But I also have a big 7mm Remag, Remington 700 long range for elk, and it is tricked out. I got custom trigger, awesome scope from Leupold, and I have killed antelope with it, and we made over 300-yard shot with it. But it's totally over kill for antelope. I just happened to be out west elk hunting and went antelope hunting too.
I think that's another.
So I didn't need it, but I had it and I used it and it worked. But it's my elk gun, which is totally different than antelope.
Is we let ladies know that there's a lot of options out there. The market is big.
It is.
You don't have to just shoot the what the market tells you to shoot, or the TV show, or the or your husband what he.
And it's really cool when your dad hands you down a gun, or you get a family gun, because I shot our friend Vicky's fourth generation. I think it was a Remington. It was a wooden stock. They'd cut the stock to fit her because she was the fourth generation of her family to own it. She let me kill an antelope with that gun. I didn't want to run and gun with that gun. I was like, this is treasure. My first antelope, you know, that I shot was with a borrowed gun. I think it was a 270. It was just, you know, it didn't fit me great, but it was awesome to be using somebody else's family heirloom gun.
I think y'all have hit on it, though. It was personal preference. It's what you like.
It is.
You know, so, I mean, you just got... The problem is finding out what you like.
Well, I always say your first gun's never your last.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, we can always buy more guns.
Yes, Tony.
Tony likes that.
I don't know what you're talking about. I only have a couple.
I do not believe you.
A couple of safes.
Like...
Couple rooms?
No, we're talking multiple safes. We're talking, think of the word multiple and then add on to that.
We'll be right back. Somebody stole a car, somebody got away, somebody didn't get too far. Yeah, they didn't get too far.
way back in my day, son, a man had to answer for the wicked that he done. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street.
Are you a member of the National Rifle Association? If not, why? No other organization in this country fights for your rights like the NRA. In the current environment, our rights under the Second Amendment are being attacked every day. While we in the South may feel comfortable, that is not the case all across America. The NRA is taking up the fight for you, and you need to be a part. Join the over 5 million men, women, and children who are members of the NRA. Go to TonySandersOutdoors.com and click on the Join NRA link. Don't wait too late.
My last Pop-Tart, and the Shell station got the last of my cash. I couldn't afford much gas, cause I had to fill up the cooler in the back. And sign says,
welcome back. Speaking of sportsmen, as always, they stepped up, took care of all the firearms at the DU banquet on Thursday night. And Carl, you listen to us over in Paris right now. Tyler did a great job. He didn't need to be reminded 42 times of what he needed to do. He did an awesome job. He took care of it. He was in charge. There was no doubt who was in charge.
Mm-hmm. They did it. They did a really good job.
What a great night at the banquet, too.
Oh, it was wonderful.
The color guy at the auction was pretty good, but
yeah, he did a really great job.
But it was kind of cool. There was some, as I call, silly money. Good dollar action on some of the auction items, I have to admit.
I know you were the color guy and couldn't see all the way where I was sitting because I was kind of behind a post, but when that over and under went up for sale.
Which one?
The
Fotsie?
Yes. I felt my hand just start twitching, and I'm like, I need to bid. And I was like, okay, don't bid. Way too much.
The problem I had with that is nobody knew anything about the gun. Now, post?
Yeah.
The post event? The guy that bought it for $2,000 got a steal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you, he got a steal. But I couldn't get anybody to tell me how to pronounce it. And I'm on the web, and so are 700 other people trying to look stuff up. And and I just couldn't get any info before the thing went up for bid. And of course, when the auction started, I didn't have time. But man, that was a pretty good. And the Satori.
It
went for $1,500, so that was kind of a bargain too.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a friend of yours on the phone.
I was in for $20.
$20?
Yeah, I was in for $20.
All right. On the phone would be our friend from the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Randy Waterhouse. How you doing, Randy?
I'm doing great, Commissioner. How are you this morning?
I am good, thank you.
I'm enjoying the show. Hello, ladies.
Hi, Randy.
How are you, Amy?
I'm doing great.
You sound good on the radio.
Well, thank you. I always feel like I sound like a hick.
Yeah, it's a great show, Tony. I'm glad that you finally got it on there.
Oh, I'm in 48 hours. I mean, this is the quickest booking of a show I've had, so this worked out really well.
Yeah, it was. It's funny how this came about, sitting at the DU banquet, and here we are now.
That's it. Where are you headed?
I am headed to Sportsman's Warehouse today. We are having our two-gun drawing again today up there, and we'll be in the store from about 10 to 4 today, and going to be sitting there waiting on all the hunters to come in and share their stories with us today.
Yeah, there should be some people coming in and some camo and a little bit of dirt on them.
Hopefully some blood. But I just wanted to thank Amy and the sisterhood for all they do, and it's a breath of fresh air to hear the women tell their stories and such as that. And the funny thing is, it just came to me just now, it doesn't have to be pink to have a lady in the woods.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Randy, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, Randy, for your support.
We appreciate y'all. Thank y'all so much.
Thanks, Randy.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
You know, we haven't really told anybody how to get a hold of and become part of your group. I mean, everybody, I think it's just assumed, I use social media, and you'll find it. And you will.
We are on social media. We do have a website. It's www.sisterhoodoutdoors.com. And we have a membership program. And we're trying to build the membership program to help monetize the business. But we're going to offer our members discounted hunts, sometimes free hunts. And they're going to get to pre-register for hunts because we have some events that sell out so quick that I don't really have to advertise them. And so members will have first shot at these hunts and events. And we're going to try to build our sponsorship in the industry and take those discounts and perks and let them be shared because we think women deserve to have more recognition and sponsorships in the industry as a whole. And so hopefully, and you know, through the advertising of all of our events. And we have merchandise for sale, logo wear for sale. And then if you're on Facebook, we have a private Facebook page called the Sisterhood of the Outdoor Girls. And there's 960-something members. It's growing about 60 to 70 women a month. And I vet you a little bit. I kind of troll on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your other social media, Google you before I approve you because we're not letting men come to that page on purpose.
Right.
And we're trying to create it, and it has been for years, you know, a kind of a good place to ask a dumb question, find out more, not be subjected to politics, anti-hunters. Maybe there's not a whole lot of strong opinions. There's just a lot of help on that page, a lot of help. Like, hey, I'm in Tennessee, and I'm new, and I just moved here. Where can I hunt? You ask that on that page, you will get an answer. Or we get this a lot, you know, I'm divorced or I lost my boyfriend and they were my hunting partner and now I'm single and how do I keep hunting? We've been asked that before and we're like, oh, well, call this girl. She's in your area. Call this person in that state. They'll help you. And, you know, it's just a way to connect and keep women informed and connected, and it works.
I think this is also one of the most often asked questions I get, once I started this show, but just through the years. And And even now, I've gotten two phone calls. I was named commissioner a few months ago. I've gotten two phone calls already from single mothers whose child, boy or girl, wants to get into hunting.
Right.
And they call and say, hey, how do I do this?
Right.
Now I've got another resource I can say, here you go.
Yeah, tell them to call us or get online and, you know, converse with us on our social media. I get a lot of private messages on my private page and private messages through the Messenger app. And then we are on Twitter. We're on Instagram. So we try to answer and respond to everything. And it's a plethora of a whole gamut of questions from things like you said, you know, how do I get my kid or my daughter to learn to shoot or learn to hunt? And what kind of events do you have? And, you know, we're doing a clinic this year. It's a really massive undertaking, for lack of a better word, but we're going to take 22 women on a waterfowl hunt for 3 days in Maryland, and we're staying in Christiana, Delaware. We have Christy Crawford from Shoot Like a Girl coming to help me host and guide. She's going to teach duck calling and how to blow a duck call. Then Victoria Jones, our local guide up there, her gun club, the Upper Bay Gun Club, is letting us hunt their farms. And it's 3 days of hunting. The seminar will be at the Cabela's in Christiana, Delaware. They're letting us use their conference room. But Victoria's doing a goose calling. Christy's doing duck calling. I'm doing like how to act and how to behave in the blind when there's a caller and a dog and what to wait for the shot and the 20-degree rule and safety rules and loading and unloading. So I'm going to be kind of like getting you prepared. And then Diane Sorrentino, who's a Beretta gold medal Olympic shooter, is coming to teach us shotgun. All for like a very fraction of cost of what you'd pay.
I'm jealous. I'm sitting here listening to this going, God.
I'm thinking, you know, you said put wigs on. I'm thinking, could I grow my hair out long enough to where I could look like a dog? I'll be happy to go out and retrieve the stuff just as long as I get to be a part of it.
I mean, this is awesome. I'll be honest with you because the first time I went hunting, pick a species. There's so much you don't know.
Right.
And you're at somebody's mercy. And this, what a great
concept.
It can
be a bad experience if you're not
prepared.
Absolutely.
My first duck hunt went.
Or you may not try it again.
My first duck hunt sucked. It did. I was uncomfortable. I didn't know what was going on. I hated it.
Well, we're planning on limiting out every day by 9 a.m. and going to Molly's for breakfast.
Okay. I'm going to get the wig next. So, anyway, we'll be right back.
Then a light went off and I started to grin. I remembered about my big grain bin. We started filling up 50-pound bags.
Welcome back. Wrapping it up on Tony Sanders Outdoors. Coming straight to the phone, Alex. You're the last caller of the day.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
First off, I've been listening for the last hour. I'm excited to hear about the lady's involvement as a husband to a lady that's killed more deer than me and a father to a 6-month-old girl. I'm excited to see the female population getting heavily involved.
Absolutely.
And secondly, I wanted to thank everybody that came to the Ducks Unlimited banquet and everything y'all did for our event. It was a major success. So.
Oh, you're more than welcome, Alex. We had a ball.
It was a great time. But
I hope it turned out financially for you. It seemed like a good night.
It was. Good. It was a slam dunk, it seems like. We had that Argentina hunt go for about $7,000, and like y'all were talking about the shotguns. So it was a good deal for everybody. So we're still tallying things up, but for water conservation, it was a success, to say the least.
So has Ross finally taken a chill pill?
I do believe so. I think he has calmed down. He is headed to Indiana to see his new grandbaby this morning.
Oh.
So he is taking a breath. So
good. Well, we had fun, Alex. We had a great time at the banquet this year.
Thank y'all again, and I'll let y'all go. I just wanted to call in and say how excited I am to hear about the females getting involved, and it's not a man's sport. It's a sport for everybody. So
absolutely.
Totally agree. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thank y'all. Y'all have a great day.
See ya.
You too, Ross.
All right, we got a couple of minutes. Tell everybody how to get involved again with the Sisterhood of the Outdoors.
You can go online to www.sisterhoodoutdoors.com and you can learn about us, read our blog. You can actually book a hunt online. We take a small deposit, just like most outfitters do, and then we negotiate small payments along the way for our hunts. Some of the hunts may book 3 or 4 months in advance, and some we take a year because we do draw tags, and they're a couple $1,000s for elk or antelope. So we give you plenty of time to pay. And then you can find us on Facebook at Sisterhood Outdoors Incorporated or ask to join the private group, Sisterhood Outdoor Girls.
But you need to look good in a wig if you're going to do that, Rob.
Oh, I'm growing scruffy. I'm going to be the dog. I'll just sit in the blind and just go swim out.
It's going to be my retriever.
Yeah, I'll be happy to.
We'll put you to work.
Fetch. Okay.
Shantine, thanks for coming in from all the way from Wyoming.
Thank you for having us.
I hope, of course, what time is it out there? What are you, 3 hours behind or two?
Two.
Oh, it's only 5 a.m. This is nothing. I hope you have a very good, successful season this
year.
Thank you. Now, when does it end out there? I mean, when does it get too cold and too bad to hunt? Or does it?
Too cold.
Well, you know,
October 31st it closes, but too cold? I don't know. It's going to be cold. It's always cold.
If you don't like the weather in Wyoming, wait 5 minutes.
Just wait.
It'll change.
Did you say the season closes on the 31st?
31st.
Well, see, then that, to me, that would be when it's getting too cold or too bad or too whatever biologically reasons for the animals.
So. You also got to wait for ice out to fish, too. So you got to wait for all the streams to thaw. I don't like waiting on it. I like our south. I can fish year round, and I don't have to worry about that ice stuff. So
have you ever done a real southern like quail hunt, dove hunt type deal?
No, I want to.
We should do that.
Yes. Next time you get her out here, we're going to do it.
Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that.
Awesome.
How's that sound to you?
I'll still be retriever. Happy to.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
In a pink door coat.
Gino, thanks for pushing our buttons, man. Amy, Shantine, thank you so much for being here. It's been
a great
show.
Gentlemen.
All right, we're out of here. See you next week.